When Jesus came, all through his life, he never did his own will. I told you, having your own will is not a sin. Adam had his own will when he was created. That was not sin. When he yielded to that will, he sinned. Always, every sin is a yielding to your own will against the will of God. Where your will is agreeing with the will of God, it's fine. You do it. Where God says do it, you do it. But where your will clashes with the word of God, your will says this and God's will says this, that's where disobedience comes in. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read about Jesus coming into the world in verse 5. When he comes into the world, that is when Jesus comes into the world, he says, it's not sacrifices and offerings you want, but a body that you want. Isn't it a wonderful verse to preach in a church? God doesn't want your offerings. Have you ever heard a church preach that? We preach it. We are about the only church that preaches it. I don't know whether you know our attitude to offerings in CFC. The first CFC church was born in India. It started in our house 44 years ago. And one of the things I discovered through, by then I had been a Christian for 16 years. I was 35 years old. And as I observed Christianity in India from the age of 19 to 35, all Christian denominations, I observed them very carefully. I visited many of them, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Brethren, Pentecostal. I visited all of them. And I saw one thing in common. It was a statement made by a French atheist in the 18th century called Voltaire. He was an atheist, very skeptical of all that he saw. And he saw these various Christian groups in his day, Roman Catholic, Lutherans, and even the Methodists were there those days, the early days of Methodism, and different groups. And what he said was, I've observed all these Christian groups very carefully. And they've got different doctrines. You know, some preach this doctrine, some preach that doctrine. But when it comes to money, they all have the same doctrine. They all love money. It is a very interesting statement. I observed exactly the same thing, which Voltaire the atheist discovered in the 1700s. I discovered in the late 1900s. It's the same in India. Every Christian group is after money. They're always sending letters to America or Germany or somewhere to send them money for this and money for that. And sometimes those Christian organizations exist only on a piece of paper. The folks out in the West don't realize that there's no building here, there's no church here, there's no orphanage here, but there's a paper with a letterhead saying some fancy name, Grace of God Orphanage or something like that. It only exists on paper. And sometimes where they have children in that orphanage, it's a man's own children or his sister's children or brother's children gathered together. And I saw all this going on, and I saw all these people from the United States sending money to all these places. And I had never been to the U.S. then, way back in the 60s. And I thought, these American people must be the most gullible people on the earth. They don't even find out whether what's happening here is where this money is going. It's just being swindled by this clever crook who calls himself a director of a non-existing orphanage and collects money. Yeah, they were sincere people out there who gave the money, but they didn't come here to check up what is actually happening here. So, and then I realized every group is like that. The priests are after money. The pastors are after money. They take an offering. I remember I heard of one church here that one of my sons attended when he was a student. And he said, Dad, you cannot believe what I saw. They, right at the beginning of the service, they passed the bag around and collected money. And then the sermon went over. And then by the time they had counted the offering. And at the end, the pastor says, we haven't got enough money. We're passing the bag down a second time. I said, can you believe it? I said, no, I can't believe it, but it's happening. It was a craze. Everywhere in the world, it was like this. And I said, Lord, if we start a church, it has to be different in the area of money. Otherwise, we are just going to go down the same path with a slightly different color, blue, green, orange, whatever it is, but it's the same old love of money. We don't want that. So we made some policy decisions there right at the beginning. I'm basing it on this verse, offering you do not desire, verse 5. What does the Lord desire? He doesn't want our offerings. It says here so clearly. That means God's not after money. He owns the whole universe. Why does he want your money? Will a billionaire on earth come ask you for money? Have you ever heard of a billionaire coming and asking you for money? That's the way I felt like it. That all these people begging for money, asking this person, that person for money. I felt, supposing the, I don't know who's the world's richest man today, but whoever it is, if his son or daughter came to me and said, "Hey, Mr. Poonen, can you give me some money?" Hey, you want money and your father's the richest man in the world? Ah, I know. Your father must have disinherited you. That's why you're a pauper. Okay, what do you want? You want $10? Here it is. The richest man's son coming and asking for money because the father disinherited him. So when somebody richer than the richest man is our heavenly father. He's not a billionaire. He's a trillionaire or whatever it is. Quintillionaire or whatever you call it. He owns the silver and gold and everything on earth. And his son, that's you, this pastor or preacher, saying, "Can you please give me $10 for our work?" It's an absolute shame. And I felt, "Lord, we're not going to do that. Even if we have a rotten old church building, because we can't afford anything better, we will not beg for money. We will not insult you, our heavenly Father, by such cheap actions." So we made some policies. One, no preacher or elder in our church, we never had pastors, we called everybody elders. No preacher or elder in our church will receive a salary. Zero. And we followed that now for 44 years. We have 150 elders in all our nearly 75 to 100 churches with thousands of believers. Not one of them receives a salary. Not one of them is paid by the church for any service. I say, if you want to be paid, find some other church, not our church. We are not here to criticize you, but we say that's not the way God has called us to go. Secondly, we will never take an offering in our church. Because sticking a bag in front of somebody is like saying, "Give me some money now." It's almost like these people who put a knife behind you and say, "Give me your money." It's something like that. "Give me your money and I'll tell you how much to give. At least 10%. So we say, I don't see all that. In the Old Testament it was true. They had to give 10% of their grain or their sheep to support the Levites. But in the New Covenant it's not like that. It says God loves a cheerful giver. Now how can you know whether a man is cheerful when you stick a bag in front of him? So we said we will never pass a bag around. And they graduated from bags to plates, because in a bag you don't know how much the guy is putting in. But when you put a plate in front of him, the guy will be embarrassed to put just $1 there. He has to put more because others are watching him. So it's very clever the way people discover new ways of getting money from people. So we decided we're not going to try any of these gimmicks. We say we will never take an offering. But we read in the Bible, in Mark chapter 12, that Jesus sat next to the offering box. You remember that story? And a widow came and put two mites into that offering box. And Jesus saw it. And he took all his disciples and see what this widow put in there. So I said, offering box, that's the thing. We'll keep an offering box and Jesus will sit near it like he did in the old days, because he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And he's the only one who'll watch who's putting anything there. We're not going to have people watching it. Jesus will sit next to the offering box, just like it says in Mark 12. And he will watch who puts in and who puts in less or more. That's between him and them, not between him and us. So we decided to keep the offering box and say those who want to give can put it whenever you want. So that's how they have one in the door there. That's how we do it in every church. Not always in a door, but we keep a box somewhere. But we have some conditions written in most of our churches above that offering box. Five conditions. Number one, are you born again? In the third epistle of John, for each of these conditions there's a verse. In the third epistle of John it says, only those who are born again do not receive anything from non-Christians or Gentiles. So that's number one condition. It's a great privilege to support the work of God, but you have to be a child of God first. Otherwise God doesn't want money from anyone who's not his child. Now that's not taught in many churches. They pass the bag around and say, whether you're born again or not, just give money. We say no. You cannot put money in that box. We put a notice there. If you're not born again, don't give. Secondly, are you in debt? Do you owe money to somebody? Then what you're putting there is that guy's money, not your money. That guy will say, hey, give me my money first before you give to God. Right. And Jesus said that, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. You remember that sentence? Then give to God what belongs to God. So who has first priority over your money? Caesar. That may be somebody you borrowed some money from. Or taxes. Give that first, Jesus said. Then give to God what is God's. So that's the second thing. If you're in debt, Romans 13:8, don't owe anybody anything. Give that. Then, if you're in debt, don't give money here. Your house mortgage is exempted because that's not a debt. Because the money you borrowed, there's a house there. It's equal. There's no debt there. Or you took a car on a loan, there's a car there. There's no debt there. But other loans that you took, I say clear that first. And then thirdly, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if a man doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. So do you have needs in your family that are urgent? Maybe you're too poor to feed or educate your children. Then go ahead, feed and educate them. We don't want those children growing up one day saying, the church stole our dad's money and so we never got enough food or education. We don't want any child in our church to ever say that. Feed them, clothe them, educate them, and then give to God. And then fourthly, do you have anybody who's got a... Have you hurt somebody in some way? Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you've hurt somebody and come with your offering to the Lord, don't put it. Don't give the offering to God. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and give your offering. So that's the number four condition we put there. If you've hurt somebody, go and ask his forgiveness. Then come and give your offering, otherwise God will not accept it. And number five, give cheerfully. That means don't give in order to get a reward from God. Some people say, give 10% to God. God will give you better interest than the bank. We don't teach all that type of stuff. We're not doing business with God. He's not a businessman. He's a father. And he doesn't want your money. Give cheerfully, not reluctantly to ease your conscience or some pressure from someone or to do business with God. I'll do this for me. What will you do for me? No. Give cheerfully. Say, Lord, I don't want anything from you. I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. Here is my offering of gratitude. If you fulfill these five conditions, give. And you know, India is a poor country. And we decided to follow that not only in the cities, but in the poorest villages.